about words and how powerful words are. I guess I've been challenged to watch my words a little closer, because sometimes we can say things that we're really not paying very close attention to what we say, and we can say things that we shouldn't have said. And I was thinking about the... there's a scripture that says life and death are in the power of the tongue. And there's another scripture that talks about a wholesome tongue being a tree of life. And I want us to look at a few scriptures. I'd like to start out in the book of James, in the third chapter. This chapter here is devoted a lot to the tongue. I'd like to start reading in the first verse. He says, "My brethren, be not many masters, knowing that we shall receive the greater condemnation." This word masters, my margin has teachers. Those that are in a place of teaching have greater judgment that comes, a heavier responsibility, or they're going to be judged in a greater way. He said, "Be not many masters, knowing that we shall receive the greater condemnation," or shall receive heavier judgment. The Lord, the things that we say is very critical. Jesus in one place said, "Every idle word man shall speak, he shall give an account thereof in the day of judgment." So that lets me know that's pretty serious, the things that come out of our mouth. He said, "For in many things we offend all. If any man offend not in word, the same is a perfect man, and able also to bridle the whole body." So it sounds like the tongue is the... if you can take care of the tongue and control it, then you've got the rest of the body under control. It's the hardest member to tame, the tongue. "Behold, we put bits in the horses' mouths, that they may turn, that they may obey us, and we turn about their whole body. Behold also the ships, which though they be so great and are driven of fierce winds, yet are they turned about with a very small helm, whithersoever the governor listeth. Even so the tongue is a little member, and boasteth great things. Behold how great a matter a little fire kindleth." Verse 6 it says, "And the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. So is the tongue among our members, that it defileth the whole body, and setteth on fire the course of nature, and it is set on fire of hell." Now this hell is referring to Gehenna, the pit. You read in Job, you remember when Job's comforters came to him? They had all intentions of just coming to comfort him and to help him. But when you read there in the first or second chapter, it talks about a spirit passed by. And he said, "My hair stood up on end." And the word and the thought that came was, "Shall a man be more just than his maker, or more righteous than his maker?" And that was the accusation they started bringing against Job. But it actually came from Satan. Satan inspired those words to accuse. All the things that Job had upon him already, and then here comes these comforters, and they begin to find fault. "Surely you've sinned. There's got to be sin somewhere in your life, because God wouldn't allow these things to happen." But it came from Satan. And that's what he's saying here. The tongue is a fire and a world of iniquity. So is the tongue among our members, that it defileth the whole body and setteth on fire the course of nature. And it is set on fire of hell. He mentioned here, he said, behold how great a matter a little fire kindleth. You know, it doesn't take very much to start some real trouble. It doesn't take a whole lot to start some real... You know, there in Oregon, we've got forest. Hundreds of miles of forest, timber. And a couple years ago, we were hiking with our family, and we went through this area just totally charred and burnt. Every tree, death. It just didn't seem like there was any life there. And the devastation, the cost that was. Oregon uses the timber industry as a part of the state's economy, a big part. They make plywood. A lot of the plywood you use here in Oklahoma comes from Oregon, the fir trees. But it was just totally devastated, miles and miles. And it started out with a small little flame that got going. And you know that happened spiritually. The destruction and the devastation of people. When things get going, when the blaze starts, I want to tell you, those mountain fires are very difficult to put out. When you're in mountains, there's not a road every square mile. Very difficult to fight forest fires that are up in the mountains. And it's very difficult to put out the fires that come from the tongue that start. They spread so quickly. You know, it seems like bad news spreads so much quicker than good news. It just has a way of going. But Lord, help us tonight to recognize our words and pay attention to our words. People are affected by those things. People are hurt and maimed by those things. Whether sometimes they're true or not, it maims and it hurts. And Lord, help us. Jesus said in one place, offenses will come. But he said, woe unto that man by whom the offense comes. Lord, help us to be careful with our words that come out. And we recognize that the words that come out of our mouth, what? Tell us what's in our heart. That's where it's really coming from, is down in the heart. Jesus said, out of the abundance of the mouth, how does that go to the heart? Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. We got to guard our hearts. We got to watch. And things happen in the family of God, in your own family. Sometimes there's things that you said are said that shouldn't have been said. Lord, help us to put out those fires. And help us, it's better not to start those fires. But I think sometimes people get into habits in the way they speak, in the tone of their voice, in the words that they use. They get in habits. I've seen husbands just belittle their companions. And it was like they didn't know what they were saying. They didn't know what they were doing. And it comes from, there's another scripture I wanted to get. Let's go on and read here a little bit more. Verse 8, it says, the tongue can no man tame. It is an unruly evil full of deadly poison. Now I believe what that saying is referring to is it can't be tamed within a man's own efforts. It's going to take the Lord and the Holy Spirit to help us. But I believe earlier in that chapter, he said, if any man offend not in word, the same is a perfect man, and able also to bridle the whole body. So that lets me know that it can be done by the Lord working in our hearts and in our lives. He goes on and says, it is an unruly evil full of deadly poison. Therewith bless we God, even the Father, and therewith curse we man, which are made after the similitude of God. Out of the same mouth proceedeth blessing and cursing. My brethren, these things ought not so to be. I thought about sometimes it's easy for us to pass on things that are not even true if we're not careful. Hearsay. I was on jury duty one time and they spoke a lot. They used that word a whole lot, hearsay. You didn't see it. You just heard it secondhand. That doesn't hold any weight. I thought about the Paul in one place. He was given instruction to Titus, but there was a prophet that said the Cretans are slow bellies, liars. He was just saying all the Cretans are this way. But Paul, I noticed the words he said, this witness is true. In other words, he wasn't just passing on something that he had heard without a confirmation. This prophet said this, and it needed to be corrected. But if we're not careful, we could just pass on things that are really not confirmed or really not founded, and that just adds to the blaze and to the fire. Deadly poison. You know, today most of us live by our reputation. Brother Delmer is an auto body, and I'm sure he's got a reputation around town. We earn our reputation, affects a lot our livelihood. Ministers, if they don't have a good reputation, they're not going to be much effect. The poison that goes out, that affects, it affects people. It's a poison. It gets in people's minds. And it affects. I've heard, and maybe you have too, sometimes people get in the frame that they're critical, negative. It seems like most of what they have to say is negative about the people of God or this person or that person. You know what you're going to do? You're going to drive your family off. You're going to poison their minds. And it's no wonder sometimes people, their minds are poisoned against the way of truth. Against the people of God. And I'm not saying there isn't difficulties and we do everything exactly right. But Lord, help us to be careful that we don't poison those that are around us by the words that we say, especially our children, our young people. Lord, help us to be careful of the things that we say. He said, out of the same mouth proceedeth blessing and cursing. My brethren, these things ought not so to be. Doth a fountain send forth at the same place sweet water and bitter? Can a fig tree, my brethren, bear olive berries, either a vine fig? So can no fountain both yield salt water and fresh. Who is a wise man endued with knowledge among you? Let him show out of a good conversation his works with meekness of wisdom. But if ye have bitter envy and strife in your hearts, glory not and lie not against the truth. This wisdom descendeth not from above, but is earthly, sensual, devilish. For where envy and strife is, there is confusion and every evil work. When we see somebody, and I want us to recognize when we see somebody that's the majority of the time, it seems like they're always striving and contesting. You know what that's happened? What's happened there? It's because they've been hurt. It's because they've been wounded. And there's some bitterness that's there, that's coming out. And we don't, you know, the enemy wants us to enter into strife. He wants us to begin to argue and strive with them. But the song that we sang just a little bit ago, it says, keep me from the strife of tongues. There shall the humble adore thee. Lord, help us to look beyond just the things that they're saying and be able to recognize here's a person that needs some real help. Here's a person that there's bitterness coming out. And it's because there's some wounds that they've had in their heart and their life that have become infected. I thought about the scripture. I want to get Hebrews, the 12th chapter and the 15th verse. He said, looking diligently, lest any man fail of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, and thereby many be defiled. Here's this poison again. Poison. You hear little things, and it can poison your mind. He said, looking diligently, lest any man fail of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness. When I think of a root, I think of something that's underground. I think of something that's hidden below the surface. And you know that's how it always starts out? A root of bitterness, it starts out under the surface. You can't hardly see it. But if we have had feelings, if we've been offended, somebody's said something to us, and I've had that happen to me. I remember years ago, somebody had said something, and it just totally embarrassed me publicly. And I struggled with that. And when they'd come to service, I knew where they were at in the chapel. I avoided them. I was praying and praying. I knew I had to forgive. But I was struggling with that. Until one time the Lord showed me I was in prayer, and He showed me a beautiful bouquet of roses. And it smelled so good in my dream. And the Lord spoke to me and said, I gave this to you. And the scripture, I read the scripture, went along with that, says, Thou hast caused men to ride over our heads. When those things happen, we can turn them. If we'll humble ourselves under, you know, bitterness is a choice. You don't become bitter just by itself. You choose to become bitter. You begin to feed your mind on it. You begin to give yourself to it. You get revengeful thoughts. They did this to me. It wasn't right. Whether it was right or whether it wasn't, you and I have an obligation to forgive. And we get to the place where we can go and put our arms around them. And that's victory. That's the place the Lord wants. He doesn't want there to be... If we don't pull out that root, we can hide it for a while. But He says here, lest any root of bitterness springing up troubles you. It'll start growing. And it'll start troubling you. And not only will it just affect your relation with them, but it affects your relationship with others too. The ones that you love. In your own home. And it's so easy for that poison to begin to come out. Little things that we say. Little attitudes that down here in the heart. And that poison spreads. And it says, springing up trouble you, and thereby many be defiled. Lord, help us today to be careful of those roots of bitterness. It happens with husbands and wives too. Another place He said, I believe it's in Colossians somewhere, it says, husbands, be not bitter towards your wives. That's a pretty close relationship. Sometimes we don't see all things exactly alike. But Lord, help us to come to that place to where there's nothing down in the heart that's growing, that's beginning to separate and beginning to cause a gap in our relationship. Another scripture that's been involved in all these thoughts too, it talked about the foolish woman, said, plucketh her house down with her own hands. A foolish woman. You know, when we get into those verbal battles, striving, And you know what I'm talking about? The blood pressure rises a little bit and you just feel like you got to say something. When we do those things, we're tearing ourselves down. I need my companion. You need your companion. But if I'm cutting them down, I am hurting myself. And it's going to affect me. And I think about how important it is for husbands and wives to guard their reputation and be a oneness in their homes with their families. If our children see us belittling one another, talking bad about one another, your dad did this or your mom did this, what's going to happen to them? Their mind is going to be poisoned against one of the parents. And it happens all the time. It happens. And it's all because of offenses that haven't been forgiven and taken care of. And the relationship just gets further and further apart. You might stay living in the same house, but you know the Lord's got something better for us than that. He's got a place free from the strife of tongues. Death and life are in the power of the tongue. Another scripture says, there is that speaketh like the piercing of a sword. Little jabs. Little comments. But oh, they go so deep. I remember there's a tract at the Faith Publishing House. And something that occurred years ago. But this man came home. He was tired and it was late. The cows were out. His wife didn't get the cows in. He jumped all over for not having the cows in that night. Belittled her, got onto her pretty hard. The next night, a storm came up. The cows had to be gotten in. And she went out. She remembered the night before. And she went out in the storm to get those cows in. And she didn't make it. And that man lived with those last words that he had said the night before. I wouldn't want to part with those kind of words. It's pretty serious. Lord, help us to be careful with our words. I wanted to get another scripture in Proverbs, the 15th chapter. You know, some of the things that come up, I remember on our, actually it was on our honeymoon. That's pretty bad, you don't get through the honeymoon. We were out on a boat, southern Oklahoma. Oh, it was beautiful too. We rented a little rowboat and went out there in the lake and was rowing. And we got talking about something. I don't remember what it was. And I don't even know if Leah even remembers. But I remember. I mean, it wasn't no big argument or anything like that. But I just remember striving in my heart in our conversation. And I regretted that so bad. I ask for forgiveness. And that's what we need to do. If we say something out of turn, out of order, make it right. Honey, that wasn't right. Would you forgive me for that? And the Lord can help us. But let's not make it a habit. Let's not get into a habit with our words of coming against them in a negative way and looking for the, got our eyes on the bad part, or the things that go wrong. Lord, help us to be able to recognize the good. Proverbs, the 15th chapter. The first verse, he said, a soft answer turneth away wrath, but grievous words stir up anger. The tongue of the wise useth knowledge aright, but the mouth of fools poureth out foolishness. The eyes of the Lord are in every place, beholding the evil and the good. A wholesome tongue is a tree of life, but perverseness therein is a breach in the spirit. And that's what, that goes back to what's in the heart. When there's perverseness in our lips, when we're saying things that are not right, it's because something's wrong down in the spirit. And we need to make sure we get the spirit fixed and right. But a soft answer turneth away wrath, but grievous words. Now the enemy's going to be there to tempt you. Don't let them ride over you like that. Don't take that. And we can be tempted to say something back. But he says here, a soft answer turns away wrath. And also Jesus talked about overcoming evil with good. When there's something coming against us, would there be anything wrong with finding something good back to say? A soft answer turns away wrath. You know, it's hard. You can't. Has anyone ever argued with themselves? You get in an argument with yourself? Not usually. There's usually takes two. You can't. It's hard to, difficult to argue with the humble spirit. A soft answer. Very difficult to argue with that. Find something good to say in return. And Lord, help us to recognize usually when those things are coming, many times it's because they're trouble in the heart. Many times we just take it at face value. We feel the hurt. And that's all we look at. But let's look beyond that and recognize this person needs some encouragement. Or this person needs some help. You know, I'm finding out we live in a world full of hurting people that are bitter against their parents, against their bosses on the job. The world is full of hurting people. Everywhere you go. Let's remember, a soft answer turns away wrath, but grievous words stir up anger. Another thing I wanted to mention, there's another scripture. I don't have this one down, but it says, a word fitly spoken is like apples of gold and pictures of silver. And I thought about that word fitly. You know, just because something is true doesn't mean that it has to be spoken right at that moment or at that time. And I'll give you an example. When my mother passed, we had the funeral and went to the graveside. Afterwards, we were there with a lot of the family. We ended up going to a restaurant to eat. We didn't want to be a burden to the saints there in Enid. Somebody came in, and I shook their hands talking to them, and they had a grievance. And they said, now's probably not the time, but... And then they went ahead and gave out their criticism. And I didn't really need that right at that time. A word fitly spoken. Lord, help us to recognize and be careful. Try to recognize where people are at and be sensitive to them. A wholesome tongue is a tree of life. It can edify. It can encourage. It can strengthen. How many times have you been struggling with something and have somebody speak a word of encouragement to you, and the strength and the help and the blessing that that gave to you? Life and death, he said, are in the power of the tongue. One more scripture I wanted to get is in the book of Colossians, the 3rd chapter. You know, I thought about Jesus there too when he was before Pilate and all them, being accused falsely. I know the enemy was probably tempting him with words. But it said he answered him not a word. And it said Pilate marveled. When all the accusations were come against him, falsely, not right, totally off, and there was no sin in his life, he was completely innocent, he had grace in his heart. He had an humble spirit. And he said he answered them not a word. I believe the enemy was there trying his best to get a response, a verbal, and because he does that with us. He tries to get strife going and us saying things that we shouldn't say. Colossians, the 3rd chapter, in the 12th verse, he said, "Put on therefore as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another and forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye." If any man has a quarrel, as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. Do we have to wait for them to come and ask us forgiveness? They may never come and ask us forgiveness. They may never recognize totally what they did. But you and I are obligated. If there's a quarrel, if there's a place of difficulty, there's a place of strife, I think about that forbearing one another and forgiving one another. That's needed in the family of God. We're close. You know, we rub shoulders. Lord, help us today to have these characteristics and these qualities in our hearts and in our lives. Maybe we get one more scripture here. Proverbs, the 18th chapter and the 19th verse. He said, "A brother offended is harder to be won than a strong city, and their contentions are like the bars of a castle." A brother offended, that means somebody that's been hurt, is very difficult to win. They're like to be won than a strong city, and their contentions, that means their arguments, their justifications. When we begin, if we have been in that place of being offended or hurt, which we will be at one time in life or another, the more we feed that, the stronger those bars become. And you know what happens to us when we've got those arguments, those contentions? Of why they shouldn't have said what they did, and why they shouldn't have done what they did. And we got those bars are there, and we begin to feel a barrier between them. You know what happens? I'm on the backside of those bars, and I begin to starve spiritually and emotionally. It affects. You might think, well, it's just with that person. No, it's not. It affects all of your relationship. And it will hinder you from being able to get close to people. It will hinder you of being able to really get close and to be able to share heart to heart. A brother offended is harder to be won than a strong city, and their contentions are like the bars of a castle. There's another scripture. He says, let every man, what? What's that? Let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, and slow to wrath. And I believe the Lord can help us with these things if we'll look to Him and allow the Holy Spirit to get those roots of bitterness out. The Lord can help us that it doesn't poison and it doesn't harm other people.